Good morning, class. Welcome to Bible 101. In this class, we are going to look at some of the exhortations given by the Apostle Paul in his different letters that we find in the New Testament. I would ask that you would pick up your pew Bible right in front of you in the pew. It's blue. I want to thank my brother, Mr. Kinder, who donated these Bibles in memory of his wife. We certainly appreciate having the Bibles before us. And you know, folks, now we can read the scriptures together without it sounding like we're speaking in tongues. And so that is much appreciated by me especially. I'd ask that you turn to our textbook this morning in the Bible. The page is 1174. We're looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, some of the exhortations that Paul gave in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, I realize we're not going to be able to cover all these exhortations. So I do invite you back this evening where we're going to look at another exhortation that the Apostle Paul gave, but it will be in the book of Philippians this evening. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want to begin reading at verse 12 of chapter 5. Here's what we find in the scriptures. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now we begin looking at the exhortations that are given in verses 12 and 13. These are exhortations concerning the Christian leaders. Two exhortations are given. Respect in verse 12 and esteem in verse 13. Now, while this is given to all Christian leaders, that can be anyone who teaches the Word of God faithfully to you. So any of the Christian leaders could be those who work in Awana, those who teach Sunday school classes, and especially our pastor. And I want to show you from the Word of God how we are to relate ourselves to our pastor. In verse 12, it says we are to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now that word respect is a very interesting word. I discovered in the Greek that it comes from a root meaning which means to know fully, know deeply. Now isn't that interesting? In order for us to respect our pastor, listen up, we have to know him fully and we have to know him deeply. Now that means we know him heart to heart, so that we understand deeply, fully, in our own hearts and minds where he is coming from. And in order to appreciate them more fully, they do three things amongst us. And this is why we need to know them deeply and fully. For number one, they labor diligently among you. My friend, I know of no other pastor who fills those shoes than our pastor. He is so diligent and so... I have to slow him down sometimes. You see, as a deacon, he is one of my people on board that I have to look after. And often I ride with him to coffee. That's why I ask him to pick me up for coffee. Because as we're riding along in the car to coffee, I can talk to him about things and how they are going and what's taking place and so forth. And I said to him, frankly, one morning, Pastor, you just have too much on your plate. Really? And I said, if you don't remove some of those things from your plate, something's going to happen. And I don't want you to burn out. And I know what it's like to burn out because I've been there, done that before, and it isn't pleasant. You can just put too much on your plate and then you can neglect the real responsibilities that are really yours. Folks, can I ask you to do something? And it comes from my heart. Will you not bother the pastor in his office unless it's vitally necessary? Leave him alone. He's got to study the Word of God in order to present the Word of God to us. And if we don't give him the time to do that, guess who's going to come out the losers? You and I will be the losers because he will not be able to dig into the Word of God to give out the Word of God to us that he needs to faithfully give. And I'm not being cruel, I'm just being honest. He needs that time to study. And every hour we take away from him in the office, guess what? I find him studying at night. I find him studying on his day off. I find him studying again, well, he does labor diligently among us. Number two, he has charge over us in the Lord. He is accountable for each and every one of us before God because we have been given to him. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and he's been given charge over each and every one of us. And that is his responsibility to take care of the sheep. To see that they are, number one, number three, admonished. That means to simply give instruction to us in the Lord. That's his main responsibility as a pastor. All the other stuff is not really his responsibility. To be honest with you, all the other stuff within the church is our responsibility. His only basic responsibility, why we called him to be our pastor, is to instruct us in the Word of God. And that's his main obligation to us, to see that we are fed the Word of God and that we are guided in the right pastures, fed the right stuff, you know, and drinking the water that is refreshing and vital for our life. Verse 13 says we are to esteem them. Now, when it means to esteem, it means, well, we don't place them on a pedestal. We don't worship the man. And we don't ignore his faults. He will have faults, just like you and me. But we do not ignore them. If we see them, pray for them. And then, neither are we to hold back our praise in order to keep him humble. I just won't say anything to the pastor about his message this morning. It was a good one, but I want to keep him humble, so I'll just be quiet. Wrong. Your giving him praise causes him to be encouraged in delivering the Word of God to you. If he has a problem with praise and humbleness, that's his problem. He'll have to take care of that. That's between him and the Lord. But it's not you to judge and say, well, I'm just going to keep quiet this morning. I'm not going to say anything to him. I'll just... Rather, you need to acknowledge him. If he's preached a good message, tell him so. I tell him often, that was a Royal George this morning. He looks at me and he says, a Royal George. I said, you got to remember I came from Canada, the land of kings and queens, you know, and a Royal George was one of the best kings England ever had. So if it's good, it's called a Royal George. That doesn't mean all your other messages are not good. That just means that was a Royal George for me. And thank him for his hard work. That's how you come alongside. That's how you esteem him. Now we're going to change focus here. Now we're going to look at exhortations concerning the Christian life. They are given in verses 14 through 22. If I have counted them correctly, there are 15. Now, we're not going to look at all those exhortations this morning. We're only going to look at one. We're going to focus on verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, we have just celebrated Thanksgiving. But for the Christian, every day should be Thanksgiving. My son phoned me up last week. He also phoned me up this week, but I remember last week, and he talked to me about his hunting trip. He said he got a deer, and he said, in coming home, we saw some wild turkeys. I said, did you get one for Thanksgiving? And he was quiet, and I said, well, did you get one for Thanksgiving? He said, no, I was trying to get one for Christmas. And I said, Christmas? And then it dawned on me. I said, oh, I'm so sorry, David. You have already had your Thanksgiving in October. That's when they have their Thanksgiving in Canada, the first Tuesday of October. And here I thought he was getting a turkey for Thanksgiving. And I said, you don't celebrate American Thanksgiving. He said, yes, I do. Gobble, gobble, gobble. No. I said, now, David, did you get one? He said, no, he didn't get one for Christmas. But every day, for us as Christians, is Thanksgiving. Now, if you look at verse 18, it drives home three truths. And we're going to look at those three truths by asking three questions. What, when, why? The first truth is found at the very beginning of the verse. Give thanks. That's all we'll look at. Give thanks. That's what the verse says we are to do. Now, there are at least 140 references to this word thanks, or a derivative of it, thanksgiving, thankfulness. The one that is used most often, its root goes back to intimacy with the person that we give thanks to. Intimacy to the person to whom we give thanks. The root actually comes from the word charis. It means grace. That's why we say grace before meals. It is a means of giving thanks to the one who deserves our thanks. Therefore, thanks actually comes from within. It's not an utterance of the lips, but it comes within. Grace is one of the derivatives that we use for love. Grace, love, and mercy. And grace is actually love in action. And therefore, when we give thanks to God, it is actually love in action. It does not simply, listen closely, simply fall from our lips, but it comes from our heart. If it really doesn't come from our heart, then it isn't thanks at all. So, when we look at this simple little phrase, give thanks, it means The one whom we love, we give thanks to, because the one whom we love deserves our thanks. Now, the next part of the verse is the stickler. Because if you look at the next part of the verse, we have to answer the question, when? It says, in all circumstances. Now, have you ever had a day when you wished you could have just stayed in bed and thrown the covers over your head and wished the rapture would take place? Well, Job had a day like that. Back in chapter 1 of the book of Job, we begin reading at verse 13. Now listen closely. This is a day that Job experienced. It says, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Some commentators have thought that they were celebrating his birthday. Don't know. But this is what it says. There came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, just while he was yet speaking, there came another one and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid of the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have yet escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are all dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job rose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with any wrong. Now look back at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Did you notice? Very important. The preposition is not for, but in. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Because, beloved, to be honest with you, and if you're honest with me, there are circumstances that come in all our lives that we're not thankful for. Exactly right. But that does not change the situation. The scripture says we're not to be thankful for them, but we are to be thankful in them. And that's a great difference. Now, I'll give you four reasons why we are to be thankful in all circumstances. Number one, God is present with us in our circumstance. God is present with us in our circumstance. We're not going it alone. Number two, God is greater than all our circumstances. God is greater than all our circumstances. Number three, it is simply a matter of my putting my trust in Him, strengthening my faith. Why? Because number four, good will come out of it, believe it or not. Good will come out of it because He works all things for good. He can only work all things for good because He is a good God. And He can do nothing else but be a good God. Now that brings us to the third question that we need to answer for the third truth in this verse. We need to ask the question, why? And it is said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now isn't that interesting? I find that most Christians, when it comes to the will of God, they are always talking about, where am I to be? What am I to be doing? Things like that. I truly believe the will of God for you is found right here in the Word of God. And our problem is we haven't started to do the will of God, so He cannot show us the rest of the will of God because we haven't begun where we need to begin. And if you look right here in this chapter, I will show you that there are three things that are the will of God. In verse 16, there is to be constant joy. Rejoice always. In verse 17, there is to be ceaseless prayer. Pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, the verse we're looking at is continual thanks. So there are three things right there that are the will of God for you. And I believe if you get involved in those three things, then the rest of those things that you are so concerned about, the will of God, will just simply fall into place. Where you're to be, what you're to be doing, and so forth. I think God is really more concerned that you offer up constant joy, ceaseless prayer, continual thanks, than where you should live and what you should do. I'm not saying that God is not concerned about that, but I think often we have our priorities a little bit mixed up. Because I think sometimes when we do what the Word of God tells us to do, which is the will of God, those other things will just simply fall into place. So our verse says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I believe the year was 1976. I woke up one brisk, cold morning in Canada, sat at the kitchen table with my cup of coffee, looked out the back window, and I couldn't believe what I saw. The roof of my garage had caved in. And I said to my wife, oh my, what am I going to do? And she simply said, from the King James Version, which we had memorized with our children, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I knew what she said was correct. She hadn't misquoted the verse. I heard clearly what she said. And guess what I needed to do? Give thanks. But you don't know all the story. For inside that garage was a little white Corvette. Collector's special edition. And it wasn't mine. There was a young person from our church who always wanted a little Corvette. And he worked hard for a number of years. And after he worked 1 year more, after he graduated full time from high school, he was able to purchase his little white Corvette. Well, being up in Canada, I didn't blame him at all. He didn't put insurance on it in the wintertime and didn't drive it. Too risky. You guys have never seen snow until you lived where we lived. Or icy roads. So, Dave said to me, could I put my little Corvette in your garage over the winter time? I said, sure. We don't use it. You have to realize the property we lived on was like a park. I mean, it was huge. And about halfway back in this property that we owned, set the garage. Well, we never used the garage to park our own car in there. It was just too much to shovel out in the wintertime. So Dave said, if you don't mind, I'll just store my car there. So in the end of the fall, he would drive that little Corvette into our garage And there the little Corvette would sit till next spring and all the snow had melted. So when I thought, in everything give thanks, but Lord, what about the little Corvette? You see, I didn't have insurance on that garage. And he didn't have insurance on his little car. And the roof caved down like... And there sat that little Corvette. Do you know, when they moved out the little Corvette, it never had one scratch on it. Now, I wasn't thankful for the roof caving in, but I was thankful in the circumstance of the roof caving in. Because you see, the presence of God was in the situation. He was greater than the circumstance. And it was just simply a matter of my putting my trust in Him that He would be the faithful and good God. And He was. And from then on, I have discovered, and let me tell you, my friend, there have been many things that have come into my life where I've had to put my thanks because it was the will of God for me. When the MS came in 1985 was the first recognition of it. For a period of time, I was numb, all on one side, felt nothing. It went away. And then about the year of 2000, strange things began to happen, and the MS reoccurred, and I'm where I'm at today, and it continues to stay idle and then progress, stay idle and then progress. But in one thing I've discovered, I was no longer capable of taking on the ministry as I once was. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I do not know how the Lord will use me the MS, and I have no idea. I just know one thing. My responsibility is to simply give thanks. For I've seen God work in other situations in my life, and I continue to put my trust in Him and let Him alone take care of the circumstance. All that I need to do, and all that you need to do, my friend, is in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it contains And Father, we realize that your word is so practical. We need to put it into everyday practice in our lives. And so, Father, there are going to be situations that will come into all our lives. Things for which we are not thankful for at all. And yet, Scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, may we find ourselves doing precisely what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.